Inside Sports Medicine with Dr. T.O. Soriao, orthopedic surgeon and medical director of Texas Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Group. Dr. Soriao's comments are meant for informational and educational purposes only and not as a treatment. His comments are not a substitute for a visit with your doctor. And now, Dr. T.O. Soriao.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. T.O. Soriao, live on this gorgeous, gorgeous Thanksgiving weekend. The weather's been a little odd. You know, I'll take it, though. I like it. I like it just like this. Lots of sunshine. It really, really bothers me when they keep saying we need rain, we need rain, we need rain. And then when we get rain, oh, too much rain, too much rain, too much rain. Isn't there always water? Isn't there? I mean, I get the drought and the farmers and all that. I get it, and I don't mean to be, you know, callous about that subject, but it always comes back. All right, enough of that. I obviously don't know what I'm talking about. So let's go to the phone calls. 855-787-1033. Typically, the second segment of each hour, we take phone calls. So let's go to Aaron. Hey, good morning, Aaron. What's up?
Trey, how you doing?
Good.
Okay, I'm going to give you a little background. About 20 years ago, I tore my ACL playing basketball. I just got divorced. Couldn't really afford to take off to have the surgery, so I never had surgery on it.
Okay.
So over the years, I put on quite a few pounds, went from 180 to 250 right now. So I've been trying to work out. I want to do an elliptical, ride bikes, and I got a little workout plan.
Okay.
So on the workout plan, I usually do the machine leg extensions. And about a couple weeks ago, I did the free weight leg extensions. So now when I'm driving in my vehicle, I get a sharp pain on the back of my knee, running down the side of my leg, and in the front of my knee. It's like a thriving pain, almost burning type of pain. I was trying to figure out, you know, what I need to do, what can I do?
Yeah, okay. So let me ask you. So during this workout plan that you have devised for yourself, was there an injury? Were you doing one repetition? You said, "Oh, I just hurt myself."
Yeah, on the leg extensions, I stopped doing it after like a second set. I did.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go back to fundamentals. Let's go back to basics. And if you've heard me on this show before, there are a few exercises that I really don't like because they're problematic. I don't like squats. I don't like deep lunges. And I don't like leg extensions. All three of those exercises put a tremendous strain on the knee. And in particular, they put a tremendous strain on the kneecap and what we call the extensor mechanism. And that is the quads, the patella, and the patellar tendon. And especially if you're not ready for it, especially if you are maybe a bit too aggressive on how much weight you do, you can do damage. You can do damage to the underneath surface of the kneecap, which has cartilage. You can do damage to the patellar tendon itself, which you can get some ruptures, or you can just cause a bad case of tendonitis. So what you're describing kind of fits into that category. It fits into that category of, you know, we call it patellofemoral dysfunction. The first step, you've already done it. The first step is to, you know, quit doing extensions. You've already done that. So now what we have to do is we have to allow things to heal. I'm a okay. big fan of stretching. I'm a big fan of icing. I'm not at all opposed to, you know, a few days of over-the-counter anti-inflammatories. And if those things don't improve your situation, then you probably ought to get it looked at to make sure that you didn't do something more permanent.
Okay.
Let's go back to being ACL deficient. Your story is common. Your story is very common. When I first tore my ACL, I was in the middle of being a, you know, medical student and a resident, and I did not have time to take off to get it fixed. So I went 7 years without the ACL. And I will tell you, I tore my ACL playing basketball, and it was one of those things where we played basketball pretty much every day. There was a pickup game of basketball every single day, which is a great way to burn calories and stay in shape because it's fun and you don't even realize you're working out. But if you take that away from you, and you're still eating just as much, then guess what? All of a sudden you start packing on the pounds. Because you're ACL deficient, you can't lose those pounds by playing basketball. You can't lose those pounds by running. So you have to figure out an alternative. And it sounds like you've done everything right except for the extension part. So if you stretch, if you ice, if you do a few days of anti-inflammatories. And by the way, how long ago has all this been? I mean, what are we talking about? Weeks, months?
Like two weeks.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're still early. So it's not too late to incorporate those things that we just talked about. Stretch, ice. I still like the bike. So if you are, you know, if you're still wanting to work out and burn some calories, I would still do the bike.
Okay.
Not much tension on the bike. You know, you're primarily using it for spinning and to burn and to increase your heart rate. And the elliptical is a little tough. The elliptical is a little tough when you've got a patellar issue. So perhaps you might just kind of put the elliptical on the side for a little bit and then get back to it once the symptoms subside.
Okay, dear. So is cryo okay? I've been thinking about going and trying it. Is that something that you would recommend?
So man, that's a great question. So cryo is ice, okay? But instead of applying the ice directly to the joint or the achy part, you basically get in this thing that looks like a washing machine and your head sticking out, and you get a full body cryo. I think cryo is really valuable for recovery. So if you just ran a 10-mile race yesterday and you want to get into cryo for recovery, I think that's genius. I think it works great. But if you've got a specific injury, I think an ice bag works just as well, and it's a hell of a lot cheaper. All right.
All right.
Great question.
Thank you, sir.
Keep me posted.
Okay, I will.
That's a great question. That's a great question. So before we went on this phone call, by the way, the number is 855-787-1033. The text machine is 21,000. That's 21000. Start off with the four letters ESPN, and then those texts come directly to us. You guys have pretty darn good memories. 0882 says that I forgot to pay off my tease about the solar eclipse. I think that was a couple of shows ago, so now I'm not even remembering what my tease was. Maybe I'll figure it out during the break. A stress reaction. We had a caller in the first segment, and he was gained a little bit of weight and was trying to lose that weight by running. And I was trying to explain to people that that's not necessarily the best way to go about it. You need to use non-impact and diet. And then once you lose the weight that you gained and you want to go back to running, then you can resume running gradually. And part of the problem with that is you get, if you're trying to run the Katy Trail and you're carrying a 25-pound backpack with you, that's problematic because your body's not accustomed to that. And it will lead to things like tendonitis, bursitis, stress fractures, and I threw out the term stress reaction. Stress reaction's been in the news lately, Jeff, because which Maverick player has it?
Seth Curry.
Right. A stress reaction is a relatively new diagnostic term that we did not have prior to having MRI, because you cannot palpate the bone, the inside of the bone. You can't examine it, and you can't see it on a garden variety X-ray. But on an MRI, because it is so sensitive, we can see these stress reactions, which essentially is swelling within the bone. Before we had MRIs, we did not have this term. Before we had the MRIs, we did not know this. a stress reaction can lead to a stress fracture, but if you catch it early, you can also avoid having a stress fracture. A stress fracture is a microscopic break in the bone, hence the word microscopic. It is not a hairline fracture, because I can see a hairline fracture on an x-ray. So if someone comes in and we get an x-ray and says, well, there's a little hairline fracture, that's not a stress fracture. It may have started as a stress fracture, but that's a real fracture. A stress fracture is a microscopic break in the bone that's only evident when we get a special test like an MRI or a CT scan. A stress reaction is a precursor to that. You can see the bone marrow edema. You can see the swelling, but you can't actually see the black line. The good news here is, boy, you can treat it. Whatever it was that caused it, avoid it. You can still work out a non-impact. You can still use some inserts in the shoe, cushion the blow. You can do the underwater treadmill. You can do the zero-gravity treadmill. And you can allow this to heal without it proceeding to becoming a stress fracture. So that is the term stress reaction. And it's pretty cool nowadays that we can figure this out, anticipate it, and move on. All right, Linda from Irving. Good morning, Linda. What's up? What you got?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. What you got?
I have a question.
Sure.
I am overweight. I was 290, and I got down to 235 just by eating right.
Okay.
And I'm looking for an avenue to exercise. I'm totally bored with the gym. I've had membership for years and don't really use it other than the steam room.
Yep.
I took a Pilates class and it seemed to be wonderful. And I was thinking there will be less risk for joint injury and things like that. What's your opinion on a Pilates?
I agree with you 100%. So here's where you're at. And I'm going to kind of give you big picture stuff. When it comes to losing weight, and I guess it's appropriate that we're talking about it on Thanksgiving weekend when all of us have overeaten. The multi-billion dollar weight loss industry really revolves around one basic concept, which is calories in versus calories out. If you take in 5,000 calories, but you're only burning 2,000 calories, you're going to gain weight. If you take in 1,500 calories, but you're burning 2,000 calories, you will lose weight. So make sure I said that correctly. If you take in more calories than you burn, you're going to gain weight. If you take less calories than you burn, you're going to lose weight. So what you've done is you've done it the right way. You use appropriate diet to which means you're taking in fewer calories and you've lost a tremendous amount of weight. Now what you want to do with the workout program is you want to increase the calories burned. And there are boring ways to do that. There are exciting ways to do that. You know, I was telling the previous caller, I think his name was Tim, that I used to love to play basketball to burn calories because you're on the court, you're competing, you're thinking about, you know, the scoring. You're not even thinking that you're burning calories. I love that. Well, when I blew out my ACL, that was no longer an option for me. And it's not an option for a lot of people. So what you want to do is you want to increase your calorie burn. Pilates is a good way. It's a really good way because it's low impact and there's not really a significant risk. I hate to throw out riding a bike because riding a stationary bike is so boring to me, but there are some places that make it exciting. You know, I was educated on SoulCycle and what these people do to try to get you to ride the bike and not even realize you're riding a bike. But there are ways to do it where you can increase your calorie burn without being bored or cause damage.
Okay, so I like spin class.
So. I love it. Go to spin class.
I wanted to make sure you understand. I didn't diet. What I did was I just ate healthy. I did like fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, and I left the fried things alone. And I, you know, stopped eating a lot of salty things.
I love it. I mean, you're doing all the right things. So now what you're asking me is, how can I burn more calories without getting hurt? And
right.
And to me, spin class is great. You know, you can burn calories with weights, but it's kind of an odd way to do it. What you're doing is you're increasing your muscle mass. So when you increase your muscle mass, you're burning more calories. Probably the best thing to do is both. You know, have days where you ride the bike for 45 minutes and then have days where you just do some weights for 30 minutes. That's the best of both worlds. Great question, though.
Thank you.
Nope, you're welcome. All right, quick little break, and then we're going to come back and take Kurt's phone call, and Dr. Ballard will be with us. This is Inside Sports Medicine, 855-787-1033. 21,000 is the text machine number. That's 21000. Start off with the letters ESPN. We're going to read those texts if they're pertinent. Coming right back.